A man dies and goes into heaven. St. Peter meets him on the pearly gates. St. Peter says, "Here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each item, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, you'll get in." "Okay," the man says. "I attended church every Sunday." "That's good," says St. Peter. "Worth 2 points.
2 points?"
he says. "Well, I gave 10% of all my earnings to the church." "Well, let's see," answers Peter. "That's worth another 2 points. Did you do anything else?"
2 points?
"Golly, how about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans."
"Fantastic! That's worth
1 point," he says. The man says. "I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her once, not even in my heart."
"That's wonderful,"
says St. Peter. "That's worth 3 points.
3 points?
The man cries. "At this rate, the only way I can get into heaven is by the grace of God. Come on in." Very humbling, isn't it? I used to like going caving. I had a reputation of squeezing through tight gaps. I had the advantage that I was actually quite small, so I could squeeze into smaller spaces that other people couldn't. But there was one time when I was out caving. I crawled through a tight passageway into a small cavern, and there was a small ledge about an inch wide to walk around to get into another passageway. I watched one person struggle, who had just got back from climbing Mont Blanc. I realised I wasn't as good as him, and certainly not as good as I thought I was. So I swallowed my pride, and out of my humility, I put a rope on. I got halfway around, and then I fell. I dangled over a hole that I was told was 80 metres or 263 feet deep. If it was not for me learning about my capabilities and showing a bit of humility, I wouldn't have been able to tell the story. In verse 13, James asks, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." Has there been a situation in your life when you have been stubborn and proud, but need to back down and show a bit of humility? When we were young, we were encouraged to get good grades and a good job so that we can earn lots of money. Many of us would have wanted prestigious jobs that pay a lot, where we're in charge of something or someone. Many of us did not want to start or be at the bottom of the career ladder. We wanted to make something of our lives, whether it be a professional footballer, the Prime Minister, a managing director, amongst many more. Many of us at some point, we might have wanted to be famous. There's nothing wrong with wanting the best if it is in with God's will and it's not causing us to sin. It is said that we live in a narcissistic society, a society where it's all about me. The definition is showing an excessive interest or admiration of oneself or in one's appearance. This is quite the opposite to how James is telling us to live. In the early church, the office of teacher was held in high esteem. It was a spillover from Jewish culture when the rabbis were highly respected. The word rabbi means my great one. If you were given a choice of helping your parents or helping the rabbi, you were expected to have actually helped the rabbi and not your parents. This culture of honour drifted into the church. People scrambled for first place. Humility was not celebrated in Old Testament times. Jesus introduced this truth and this attitude. James is telling us not to struggle for selfish promotion or get into selfish ambition, especially in church context, but also generally. So don't fight for first place. How many of us have wanted to be great at the cost of others? We hear many people who have trod on people to get what they want, ignoring the needs of others. James in verse 14 warns us against this selfish ambition. So why do we do the things that we do? What is our motivation? What is the reward we expect when we perform various duties? Do we seek recognition for the works that we all do? There's some people in this church that I've admired by the works that they have done. I have seen people from this congregation wandering the streets of Amington and actually the canal as well, and actually picking up litter. These people did it secretly and did not shout what they were doing from the rooftops. There are also many tasks within the church that are done that some people don't recognise or they're not singing about. So although teaching and preaching are important, there are other tasks that are equally important, such as cleaning the silver and the brasses, vacuuming, dusting, cleaning the church, gardening, phoning a friend to see how they are. But humility doesn't come naturally. Don King, the boxing promoter, said, "I never cease to amaze myself, and I say that humbly." Winston Churchill said, "We are all worms, but I do believe that I am the glowworm." By contrast, Bear Grylls, who is a Christian, after reaching the summit of Mount Everest, said, "People have congratulated me on conquering Everest. But this feels wrong. We never conquered any mountain. Everest allowed us to reach her summit by the skin of our teeth and let us go with our lives where others died. We certainly never conquered her." What would our attitude be if we had stood on the world's highest mountain? Would we be bragging about it for the rest of our life, or would we have a humble attitude? So how can we learn to have a humble attitude? C.S. Lewis said, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less." So I'll repeat that. True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. Albert Einstein said, "A true genius admits that he or she knows nothing." I agree that we should all try and better ourselves, and we do need to accurately assess ourselves, including our strengths and weaknesses. We need to remain open to new information or ideas, even if they contradict our previous opinions. We need to balance our own needs with service to others, recognising the contributions of others towards our own success. We need to be able to put aside our own ego and give our best without expecting recognition. We should be peacemakers, as we read in verse 18, and sincere, and not exaggerating, letting our yes be yes and our no be no, as in chapter 5, verse 12. When we're at a busy checkout, do we grumble to one another, to the cashier? Or when we're at a restaurant and our dinner's just arrived and it's cold, how do we actually treat the waiter or the waitress? In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, what God said to Solomon after the temple had been built was, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." I believe that this message is the same for us today as it was then. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Be at peace with one another in gentleness. We need to show compassion to one another and not just to the people that we like. We need to show these attributes to everybody. As James writes in chapter 1, we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers of it. The opposite of humility is outlined in verse 15 and 16. It is pride, an unwillingness to learn, a refusal to yield, the bitter envy and selfish ambition that results in disorder and evil. So as we follow Jesus together, we acknowledge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who was the one at the beginning of creation, was flinging stars into space, and yet he is the greatest example of humility that we could ever want. Because of the mess that we had caused and his love for us, he gave up everything he had from the world that he made. Humbly he came to this very world that he created, all full of sake, became poor, and made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant, was obedient to the Father, to the point that he died on the cross for you and for me, so that we may be forgiven and enjoy a relationship with the Father. It is this Jesus we should be looking up to. He is our teacher, he is our guide, and we should be following in his footsteps. We should abolish our pride and humble ourselves before our God. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Let's just take a couple of moments.